Blog Talk Radio.
Secular.
Probably a good thing.
You ready? Right, let's make this the one.
Australian band that went across overseas in 1963. That was their album, their first recorded sort of number one hit from 1964, recorded at the Abbey Road Studios in London. And that was the sort of live version of them getting ready for that and doing that tape. And of course, the lead singer of the Seekers was a lady called Judith Durham, who unfortunately passed away here in Australia yesterday. And of course, our condolences to her family and to all the fans of the Seekers, of which there were many. They sold 50 million albums famously in the United States. They had one big number one hit called Georgie Girl that came along with the film in the mid-1960s. And just a brilliant singer, beautiful voice, Judith Durham. So welcome to a team of voices. This is a place that you found on Blog Talk Radio. We are a group of poets on allpoetry.com. And if you are looking for us, you wander into and get a free account on allpoetry.com, knock on the door of the team of voices, and you will find our chief and leader, Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hi, Deb. Thank you. And you will find my co-host as well, Joe Hatter. Hi, Hatter. How are you?
Hi, JP. I'm okay.
Did you? What did you think of that little tune? You may not have heard that one, but what did you think of that one?
Oh, clearly, the Seekers. You can really hear the sound. I didn't know they had so many albums. Yeah, Georgie Girl was huge. Georgie Girl, like the late
60s. Georgie Girl was a great song. Yeah. And but an unusual band because they had in that formation they had a bass, cello, like a double bass, and two guitars, and all four of them on harmonies, and so just a beautiful sort of folk sort of sound through the harmonies and through the very sort of a little bit of flamenco almost in the guitars, but the double bass acting as the sort of rhythm.
If you can harmonize. You can harmonize and play bass at the same time. I got to give it to you.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. And so Athel Guy was sort of sitting in the second sort of counter voice with the double bass, and then the two guitarists sort of were singing harmonies in the background. So it's just a really interesting little grouping. But I actually really like that song. They went on to... write songs with Paul Simon when he separated from Art Garfunkel in the UK, and they were on a whole heap of very famous concert bills with the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Animals, that they were there in those times. So, opened the way for Australians, the Seekers.
Good to say, open anyway, for the Beatles. Yeah.
I mean, you know, they did some really interesting things and had some really good songs. Anyways, there you go. That's our
My little sister's name is Georgiana, and my parents used to sing "Hey There, Georgie Girl" to her all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was back in the time when girls' names were the big songs. You had Wendy.
Yes.
Georgie Girl. You had Jennifer.
Denise,
Gloria.
My other sister is Denise. There was just not. They each have a song with their name. There is no song with my name in it.
My sister was Gloria.
Oh, there's got to be
that. Gloria, Gloria.
There's got to be a song in it somewhere.
I have a Jamaican friend. And he was in a band for a while, and he wrote a song. And in his song, at one point, he yells, "Go Deb," but that's all I got.
Oh, okay. That's all you. Well, that's sort of not a big deal, is it?
Hey, I got a question, guys.
Yeah,
it's going to come up later, and I might as well ask now. I'm trying to find a certain poem, but I'm not sure what the title was, but I know what it's about. Is there a way of
saying it?
What's that?
Oh,
sing it.
On the side.
It was a contest. It was a contest about oxymorons.
Well,
I wrote it. I won medal.
Did you win a medal in it, Hatter? Did you win a medal in the contest?
Yeah, I believe I did. I think I won gold.
Okay.
I think.
Okay, well, if that's the case, just on all of click on the gold poem. And it'll be part of that list.
Okay, well, that narrows it down to a couple hundred. That's better.
That's what I mean. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on it.
That's what I would do. So anyway, this week, we are on the wonderful world of ferns. And I sort of thought that would be a reasonably easy topic until I started to write on it, and then I sort of found it wasn't as easy as what I thought. Hatter, did you have a similar experience?
I'm sorry, again?
Did you have a similar experience about the topic of ferns? I thought it would be easy to write on, and then I found out it wasn't.
My ideas came clear, and I figured what I wanted to do, it was the rhyming and the words, the storytelling that was that was catching me. And it's in a rough, it's sort of rough, but I think it'll pass for the prompt.
Okay. You're not convincing
you'll see,
frankly,
you'll see,
you're not convincing me that you sort of it's a big fern poem. Did you do a fern poem as well?
I am actually doing my edit right this second.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so fern poem is coming. We do have something from Stephen, of course, Hatter, and we do.
Yeah, I think they're finishing up at Sky.
Yeah, I don't think they're too far away. And the other thing that we do have, of course, is we have a collaboration, the blind collaboration. So what we might do is that we might see when Stephen shows up, which is usually about the time I say his voice, which is, you know, somewhere about now. And then we'll do the collaboration and then we'll do yours. How does that sound?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, the other piece about this is that we do need a topic from you for next week. You know that too. Yeah. So, because it's your turn.
I think I'm going to go oxymorons. That's why I'm trying to find this one as an example we could put up.
Oxymoron. Well, I've got to tell you.
Have you got no
on an oxymoron.
I use some of the better ones. If I do that and put up my poem and it's got some of the better ones, maybe people won't use it. Maybe I shouldn't post it.
Well,
it's not easy to remember. I found
oxymoron.
Still looking.
Well, it's anything.
They could use anything. Yeah, they could use it.
Anything that's a paradox is not straightforward, is it?
Can I read that later, maybe? Can I read that later?
Can we do? For sure, if you've got it, yeah. I mean, you might want to save it for next week, unless you want to write another oxymoron poem, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I was going to use it as an excuse not to have to write to it. But no, okay.
Oh, you can't use it twice, Hatter. You can't do it one week and then show up another with the same
Okay.
That's cheating.
I'll try that.
Yeah.
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 I got you.
That's the limit. Yeah. So, but you know, if we were to do oxymoron and you did already have a poem on it, I'd suggest that you save it for next week because I can't think of too many times that I'm going to be doing an oxymoron poem.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Just saying. So. Anyways, but no, it's been a good week. I'm substantially better than what I was at the start of the week, Hatter, when I had this nasty cough that's been hanging around for a week or so.
Yeah.
So that's been slowing me down and slowing my poem production down as well, I have to say.
Yep.
So
it's funny, you mentioned that earlier. It was like, I had the dry cough for the last 2 weeks, just an irritating little something. You know, I wasn't coughing anything up. It's just
It's sort of weird, isn't it? But it's sort of, it's not a big deal.
It is.
And but it's sort of annoying enough that it, for example, you know, you cough and then you sort of get this, you feel tired because your stomach muscles are and everything around your chest sort of gets all stretched. And all of a sudden, all the simple things become harder.
Well, you think everybody hears you because everybody's, you know, you cough.
Yes. And I get really worried about people reacting when I'm coughing. Anyway, here we go. About 2 minutes after I called your name, I think this would be Stephen. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Hey, Steve.
I am very, very
hello.
Very, very well. Just spot on time. I don't know what it is, Stephen. You're you're like a clock watch. You sort of show on a particular time and a particular place, and, you know, it's quite impressive, really. So I have put up your poem on the board, What Thrives Outside Does Pour Indoors. So if you would like to read that, Stephen, we'd love to hear it.
Sure. Yeah, I actually kind of wrote this at work today. The words were coming to me as I kept thinking around ferns. What the heck can I write about ferns? So, yeah. What thrives outside does pour indoors. Of tap roots that seep to soil moisture deep, where wetted blade can no wise find, all fronds are well combed of barrel herringbones through weather both hot and dry. The creeping rhizomes go begetting new homes, perennial colonization of the backyard. Just like crabgrass weed, they come back with speed, even after tiller tines have scarred. But a digit of green is what one does need if venturing to grow them indoors. They dry up a lot and suffer soggy root rot and create brown hanging basket eyesores. End poem.
They do, don't they? It's funny. It's strange. They're very green. But they have a horrible habit of ending up looking brown and bloody gruesome because they seem to be quite sensitive things in the plant world. And while they have this beautiful green color, they do tend to go and explore worlds of yucky brown. Deb, what did you think of Stephen's fern poem?
Well, actually, I started laughing at the end with the brown hanging basket eyesores, because sometimes they're those eyesores because they were so busy doing their job and using their superpowers and removing stuff from the air for us and fixing soil and feeding people and whatnot, that they're so busy that they dry up and turn brown. I have a newfound respect for ferns. But that on the side, I think this came out really cool, the rhyming and the flow and the fun and the giggle at the end and a 10 and it's waving in the wind up there in the photo. I think you did an awesome job with this, Stephen.
Thank you, Deb.
And Hannah, if you want to say a few words about Stephen's fern poem.
Well, first of all, I got the answer to soggy root rot and eyesores. They make fake ferns that look better than the real ones, and you don't have to ever water.
Oh, there you go.
They really do. Yeah. You got to keep them out of the sun because they'll fade. But I like the verse. It really describes frustrations of not having a green thumb, I guess. But they're one of the fastest growing plants, aren't they? When I was up at the lake, the doctor that was two houses over, I took care of the big house in between where I lived and the doctor, Dr. John, and he had a huge fern tree. This thing was the biggest thing I've ever seen. It had a barrel trunk about, I couldn't even reach around it. And then it crawled up the side of the ivy, or the side of the incline to the house that I took care of. So I had and it was completely covered. So I had the nursery of these ferns that I could constantly dig up and replant everywhere. It was really growing really fast. I mean, I was surprised, but nicely done.
Thank you.
There you go. And I should say, we do have ferns in Australia, but of course, I always think about silver ferns. I think about New Zealand because it's a lot better and has a lot more ferns. And of course, the silver ferns are one of the sporting teams of New Zealand. They're the New Zealand national netball team. Now, of course, netball is a big deal in New Zealand, big deal, along with rugby. Rugby for the guys, netball for the girls, huge deal. And unfortunately, the silver ferns have missed out on the gold medal Paddock. They're in the Commonwealth Games, which is on at the minute. So they're going to be playing for bronze, which is, you know, not so good if you're not Jamaica. So anyway, there you go. Ferns, silver ferns, New Zealand and netball. Stephen, I was going to see if you had a few minutes to stay on board while we got Deb to do the collaboration, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's an air firm. I like that, Deb. That's really cool. Okay, so, Deb, are you happy to do the collaboration this week, which is was intriguing because I sort of got sidelined on this one, Hatter, so I have to say. So I'll talk about that in a tick. But Deb, how did we go this week with our lives?
It's a 7. It came out pretty good.
Yeah.
It's cohesive. It's got some rhyme. There was 2 rough spots, but let's see what you guys think. And I did notice that there was a comment earlier, and the person said, "Great poem. I like it. Something as simple as getting a haircut." And I think that maybe I dropped the ball on the story, so you'll have to tell me. Again, here we go. Cat hair on dentist chair underneath the fern. Notice the fern in the photo. Here we go. She said to sit in the dentist chair in Aunt Henrietta's lounge room, but I thought I came to cut my hair as the cat's maul on carpet's worn loom. Then, from creepy sounds of ortho shoes, ears anticipate some happy news. High from the injections prepared his way. Now even the lions appear to say that just the good boys get the dentist toys. I spy spit bowls and rinse holes. The dentist is about to speak. Now look out, the teeth are nervous. I cannot feel the second step. Is this as high as I'll ever get? Fillings of gold to pay the tolls. I'm having an out-of-money experience. Holding the gloves worn for the virtuous. The clock hand sit at the half-past noon. Now I hope she's done really soon. Doubling up as the dentist each week, broadcasting stories that make us laugh because they gave us laughing gas. Stitches from surgery will close and review seek. Newspaper headlines read the smiles are gone and that it won't take very long since wooden floors infection is rare. The light I saw, I followed close. I prayed to find what I love the most and proper disposable eyewear. One would think I would smile, but it's really not my style, so forget the loose-fitting bib for tasks. 2 cats that had to share now stare. I left that day with a mouth full of hair. As requirements say, need mask. And boom. Mm.
What was the number? What did we get out of this one?
7.
7, okay.
So, Catter, before I let Stephen talk, I got completely sidelined by the fact that this was not going to be a healthy experience for the dental patient with, you know, no masks, no gloves, a wooden floor, the cats running around, and I just basically saw, you know, a disaster in terms of oral hygiene appearing here. Yeah, so my lines got, you know, completely cast sideways. This was going to be a huge problem. Anyway, Stephen, what did you think of the this little collaboration?
Well, it's definitely a lot of fun with a lot of imagery. And, you know, I'm typing out a comment right here because this is the exact reason why cats – should not be allowed in the dentist office. As much as I love cats, I have one on my stomach right now. you get a haircut underneath a new filling that the dentist just put in, you forever got that hair in the mouth feeling. It's just horrible.
That's the one. Well, I'm with you. I'm completely with you, Stephen. That's exactly where my head went to. Hatter, what did you think? You obviously, yeah. Did sensible line by occupational health and safety line.
What I did was I glanced at the picture first, and then I, from memory, from a part of the picture, I'll try to write what I see. First, I thought I didn't see the dentist. I thought he was in there getting his hair cut.
I agree. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Then I saw the dentist and the orthopedic shoes. So, I know what you mean. I did the line with the mouth full of hair. I sort of went on the long inner rhyme thing just to try to describe what I saw. I don't know if that was a bad thing. It seemed like everything had it was probably harder to fit together. Is that right?
Well, no. It was that I was trying to, because there was so much that already on its own rhymed well once I started putting the pieces together. And between the rhyme and the fact that yours was a little more silly and AP's was serious because he couldn't get past the thought of the infections and stuff, that it added to the dark humor of it. But then I got hung up, where is it? From the I spit, that one little section there with nervous and virtuous, those three little pieces kept making me, maybe even the next part, I don't know, it lost a little bit of the rhyme pattern, and at first I was letting it stress me out, and then I'm like, wait, no. Stop, so, yeah. I kind of like the fact that, like I said, you're sitting there, Hatter, and you're talking about you thought you were getting your hair cut, but if you're a good boy, you'll get a toy, and AP's like, we need a mask. The heck with that bib. And where's my proper disposable eyewear? So, there was a lot of humor in there. I just had to let go of the stress over the rhyme, and then it was better. But because I want you guys to like it, I stress, and then I, so that was why I was a little bit left, because I couldn't work it out.
Job. Yeah, you definitely have the harder job.
I like it.
I actually thought it came out really well, considering we were, coming at it from very different angles,
I had to fight not to go the way you did. I definitely had those thoughts, but I wanted to be, I tried to be more silly about it.
It was good that you actually controlled yourself and went somewhere a little bit more fun, because that actually, I think, worked well as a piece. Now, Stephen, I'm going to turn to you because it's about the time that you do need to disappear, and I thought I should give you a chance to talk about what's coming up on your set of programs.
Yeah, sure. I appreciate that. Monday is the Mortuary of Shadows. That's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And we're going to feature the classic horror film Creepshow. We have quotes from that movie to write to. Stephen King and what's his name? George Romero, the guy who did Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, George Romero.
George Romero, yeah. So, yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, check it out. But we got quotes to write to. That's at 7:30. And I just want to shout out for the Poetic Inklings on Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern. It is our last Agnes Cecil show, Deb. Bring your favorite Agnes Cecil right for that one, as it's open, Agnes. And that's at 9 p.m.
Yeah, you know how hard it was for me to pick one from – those are some of my favorite writes from this year. It was really, really hard to pick one, but I already went to that board. I have my poem there, I think.
Okay.
There you go. So thank you, Stephen. Stephen. Thank you, Kate, too, for stopping on past. And love you to stick around, but I know that you've already been on the airwaves for a couple of hours, so and it is late. So thank you for your Fern poem and for stopping on by.
Thank you. Have a good night, guys.
Thank you.
Say hi
to Kate.
Okay. Okie dokie. Now, Hatter, are you going to kick us off with your Fern piece tonight?
Okay. All right. We get over there.
Yeah. Well, let me get go and get it from the board.
That's a pretty picture, Deb. How many? There's a lot of species of ferns, aren't there?
Countless. Yeah.
From
ferns that are just living off air, which I put one on the chat wall. You can sit it in anything. The little hand is really cool. They're in jungles. They're in the woods out back right now. And one day they will take the world back, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Okay, AP, that one you picked and posted was the oxymoron one. I just posted so I have it there.
I've got the wrong
one. Let me go find the other
one. There you go. Yeah, let me go back. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Be with me. Bear with me. One tick. Sorry about that. I am going back and grabbing the mighty fern. There you go. We'll grab that and we'll put that on the board. Now, the answer to the number of ferns, I'm reliably told, by Wikipedia is 10,500 varieties, but apparently it could be up to 15,000. We just haven't gone and seen them all yet. So 10,500. There you go.
Yes. Yeah. So mine is called the Mighty Fern.
Okay.
The idea I went with was when, if you've seen that after humans or whatever that, if the people were all gone, what would happen to the world?
And
the plants would take over. Plants would take over, and the ferns would be first. It goes like this. Upon the trees of Wonderland comes the tales that you might understand about the lives of five humans and what they saw in front of them. Silence was the sounds that we heard, no crickets, or the songs of birds. We thought it all absurd to what was about to occur. It's a little rough. Along the path, while on a walk, we found ourselves within a stalk. They hid behind the crop of rocks, these set of eyes upon us locked. They drove us to the place too high, the timber line towards the sky. Is this the place we will die? No words we spoke within a cry. Then we saw the eyes locked on in front of us, the path we're on. My heart beats to a power song. Something was to be so wrong. An ambush set by a pride of cats waiting for the cat attack. I don't think we'll make it back. I wonder where the hell we're at. Then a swoosh we heard around us, five. One cat flew into the sky. A second wind would felt go by. Three more lions learned to fly. Surrounded them, our heads did turn. Something that was our concern, to find the fact that we then learned what saved us was the mighty fern. With arms of thorny, snapping sticks, the mighty fern, like a ton of bricks, the trees were watching and saved our lives. We believe the group of five.
Intriguing.
It's sort of like the trees and the Lord of the Rings, when the trees come down and sort of sweep everything around.
I've written on Ents before. It's good fun. We don't normally get a sort of story of sort of ins and outs and lefts and rights. That's very different pattern. That's worked very well. Deb, what did you think?
Well, for starters, who knew that that Hatter would be so inspired by ferns? That's one of your longest poems in quite a while. And then, like, I thought silence was the sound we heard, no crickets or the songs of birds. We thought it all absurd to what was about to occur. I think that you jumped in on this one, and an ambush set by pride of cats waiting for the cat attack. And I'm like, you must have been in a really good mood, and were you playing with the kittens at the time? And then there was a swoosh. I don't know. It seems like you really had a lot of fun with this, aside from the Hatter rhyme and stuff, all the way down to the end. With arms of thorny snapping sticks, the mighty fern like a ton of bricks. What is it? There's something, the mighty Quinn? Was it like a play in some spots? Because I
That's funny you said that.
It's really cool, Hatter. Really, really cool. And like I said, it does show you were very inspired by the length. So, how cool is that?
Yeah, it was fun to write. But I really struggled with the rhyme, the storytelling.
Right.
That's usually why it goes a little long if you try to tell a story.
I quite like the story. I think that's right. I mean, it's nice that you sort of got out, you know, that number of stanzas with it, because it just indicated that you were having some fun with it, which was good.
Yeah, I think I failed on describing the mountain lion and what they were doing, because I kept saying cats.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
We can forgive that, Hatter. I'm happy to forgive that. So, well, we've got mine, Hatter, and mine's nowhere near as clever. It's just a couple little poem, and it's even in not even in rhyme. So there you go. So this is just from this morning, Fern, and it goes a little bit like this. Delicate as fringed lace, they hang heavily on the smaller stems. Bend with water's drops or droop on the scent of travelling mists. Wide open palms which spray with hands open out. Delicate grey-green that holds onto forest edges. The searching is after an ending point or full stop. End poem.
Open palms. Yeah, you know, you started out delicate, you used the word delicate, but they are very sturdy. Mm-hmm. Very sturdy. Because they grow from the root. The root system is what keeps them. I mean, they could die off and then water it. The next season, they'll pop back up.
They're sort of dainty, but they're not. That's why sort of delicate's a good word for it, because they sort of look as if they could be swept away, but they're actually a lot more sort of, you know, there's a lot more, as you say, to them than just get knocked off on the odd storm. So, you know, I think they're sort of a different little beast.
Yeah,
but,
you know, I'm sorry.
So, you know, I thought it was okay. What did you think, Dad, of the little descriptive poem?
I like the brevity, and there's, like, for example, in the third stanza, wide open palms which spray with hands opened out. It can also, for some reason, the open palms, the spray, I also looked at it like open palms and pray. I don't know, I guess because of Palm Sunday or something. I don't know, but it delicate gray-green that holds on to forest edges. And it's true, you always see them peeking out of the edges. So even though it's just a handful of little stanzas, you pay tribute to the delicate of the look, as well as the power in it. I mean, it's taken over those edges, and bend with water drops, so it's like drooping, but it bounces back. I think that it's a very clever brevity.
Thank you, Deb. And I have been starting to practice my little cartoon-type sketches. So this is an important development, Hatter, because I originally thought I'd do my first book and I would get my amply talented 17-year-old to do the sketches, because she sort of out-sketch me till cows are blue. But I've decided that she's got exams and stuff to do, and so I have started sketching. So that is a good thing, because it means that it's not going to stop me having a book. So
it makes you appreciate the artist. I can't believe she's 17. Wow.
Oh, yeah. She's just a terrific, illustrator and drawer, and she can draw me under the table 25 times and 35 times when, you know, on a normal day. But I'm going to give it a go and see how I go and do something very simple like A.A. Milne type drawing. So that's where
I remember when your profile picture was a drawing by little A.
Yeah, it was
like a pink ribbon in it. It was for some kind of contest or something.
I cool. Illustration that she really has, and she's, you know, it's fun because, you know, some of the stuff she does now is just really is really cool in terms of the imagery and some of the stuff that that you know she does in terms of characters and the faces are brilliant. But she's sort of come along a long way. She's self-taught, so she just, you know, keeps on learning things, and, you know, just great fun to watch. So you know, I'm as I said, I'm about 1/35th as good as she is, so I will put that aside and just see how I go. So it's about getting over yourself.
I see you used the three line. I first wrote mine in three lines, but for some reason it didn't tickle that feather in my ear, so I went four, and I think I'd have been better off sticking with three line verses.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Sometimes, you know, I just sort of go with what sort of hits the page, and that usually works best for me, Hatter. And in this particular instance, it just went with the three, because that's sort of where it sort of started. So, and typically for me, you know, whatever I do as the first stanza sets the meter and the sense for the rest of the poem.
Yeah, something about the three line verses, it works.
It does seem to.
But like you said,
for this one, it's not overly complicated. It just seems to make sense of it. So, now, Deb, I have seen that you have put your poem on the board. We might have a listen to you doing that.
Cool. I was just adding a note to the author's notes, but I'll do that later. The photo that I included is you see the curly points of each of those?
Yes.
They're called
yes.
fiddleheads, and people eat them. They are young fronds, obviously, harvested to use as a vegetable. And if you left them on the end, they would unroll, so they take them off, and you season them up to whatever. And there's even recipes online, so who knew? But which leads to the title and why it's called Ferns Have Split Personalities and Superpowers. So it's just a little one. Here we go. In the tropical jungles and the rainforests, they spread into every nook on the scene, converting the carbon dioxide into oxygen, scrubbing toxins from the air like benzene and formaldehyde and airborne pollutants, then adding 79 shades of green. Ferns are food, medicine, and biofertilizer too. Fronds on the bushes are ornamental and can remediate contaminated soil for you. Plant them in the garden beds with all the blossoming flowers. Removing cancer-causing poisons is that flat fern leaf's superpowers. End poem. But I had no idea that they are over 300 million years old, and they basically dominated land before plants that flowered came to be.
Yes.
I'm sure everybody knows this part, but NASA even experimented on them, and in 1989 they published their findings that putting indoor plants in your home scrubs the air of some of those volatile organic compounds. So it's like, get yourself some plants, pick up a fern, and it'll add some time to your life, and they're reasonably priced, and I am now fascinated by ferns. I had no idea. And it's true, they can take contaminated soil and scrub it clean. So, like, they have superpowers. I learned a lot about them, so very, very cool topic, AP.
Yeah, remember when they said plants can hear? They're testing plants. It was always on the fern. These ferns, the house fern, is the most sensitive to side the environment, which includes music. These are the ones that they would test because they were easily grown, easily seen of their environment. Was that house fern? I didn't know you could eat them.
I didn't know you could eat them either, Hannah. That's news to me.
I didn't either. It was one of the many things I learned when I was looking for my angle to write to.
Now they close up. They close up every night and open back up, don't they?
That I'm not sure of. As far as I know, once it becomes a frond, it's a frond. That's why they cut them off while they're still curled, or else they would uncurl. Like I said, I had no idea. It's like a side dish, like a vegetable. But it's used in medicine.
It's like dandelions.
The thing that fascinates me the most, it can fix, remedy contaminated soil, and that it can scrub the cancer-causing poisons out of the air that you breathe. So, like, that's some superpowers.
It's like the mountain streams.
The new ferns were superheroes.
Yeah, it's like the mountain streams.
Yeah,
you want the ferns on the side with the root systems in the draping over into the rocks and the water. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nature's filter.
Yeah. No, that's fascinating, Deb. I mean, I think you've done a wonderful job doing the research there to actually talk about, you know, what it is that they can do and how it is that they do it. I think that was really cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those classic sort of topics that you don't sort of think have much in them until you go and do a little bit of reading and searching out, and then all of a sudden, bingo, you come up with gold. It's great. So there you go. That you sort of covered all of the main bases, really, about ferns. And so, Hatter, we've got next week oxymoron. So we won't do the oxymoron poem this week. We'll do it next week. I mean, how many oxymoron poems are you going to do? You know, so
Yeah, I left that one on the board for next week. And I have to figure out how I'm going to, what kind of art I'm going to give you guys to sort of tie in. At least the dentist office had a fern over there.
Yeah, no, that was kind of cool.
I'll find something cool.
Not as straightforward with oxymoron, but I'm sure you'll find something, Deb. Now, I should say next week when we all get together, I will be on holidays, but I will still be dialing in for the show. I will be in New Zealand for the weekend for a holiday. I will be in the southern city of Queenstown, which is one of the snow resorts in New Zealand. So I will be there amongst the snow, and I will be on the show. And then after the show, I will be racing down to the lake to go on my pre-booked a tour on the H.M. Earnslaw. Or Earnslaw, and the Earnslaw is a steamboat adder. It is a steam ferry.
You're not taking the hot air balloon, I guess, huh?
I'm not taking the hot air balloon, but I am taking the steamboat, and that is my.
That's cool.
Is that the South Island?
Is that the South Island?
That is the South Island. Yeah, that's the South Island. So that is my 4-hour little adventure on Sunday afternoon. We're tripping across Lake Wakatipu and going and having a barbecue and then tripping back again. So that is what I'm up to on Sunday afternoon. But of course, it will be Sunday morning in New Zealand when I'm there, because New Zealand's a couple of hours ahead. So it will be sort of mid-morning Sunday and not lunchtime Sunday. When I'm talking to you, Ken, in New Zealand.
Now, didn't they just have an island that sort of appeared overnight? Was that in New Zealand waters?
In New Zealand, they often have things just appear, because of course it's a very young country, Hatter, and so lots of volcanic activity, and so they will occasionally, you know, have new islands and stuff appear, because that's sort of what they do. But it's a lovely country, beautiful country, New Zealand, and heading over there for a short break. So that's
cool.
What I'm up to.
It would be interesting, Hatter, to see what tickles AP's fancy while he's there, because it'll suddenly become the topic for the week after that. So I'll be anxious to see what pulls your attention enough to make it a prompt, because usually it's something that's around you that you see or whatnot.
It could well be this boat. I've put a picture of it up on the board, because it's a beautiful, beautiful steamboat, and it will have beautiful sounds as it goes along. Lovely water.
Huge.
And just beautiful mountains there, called the Remarkables. It's the Remarkables mountain range in the background, and there will be snow on those mountains at this sort of time. So the scenery there is just gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. The shoreline's like prehistoric.
Yeah, it's all stone. It's just beautiful stuff.
The ship
so,
is amazing. Look at that woodwork.
That's what
Penny
Lane
is. It's a 100-year-old steamship. It's just beautiful. I'm a big fan of steam things, and I haven't been on that. The last time I was on that boat was about almost 40 years ago, and it's still traveling and doing all the stuff that it was doing back, you know, when I first was on it all those years ago. So,
Now, where do you go? Where do you travel to or from?
I'll travel direct from Melbourne to Queenstown, Hatter, and that's about 3.5 hours. So it's like the equivalent going of me. If I was in Australia, it would take me 3.5 hours if I turned left to go to Perth on the far west coast of Australia. So instead of going, turning left and going to Perth, I'm going to turn right and go to the middle of the South Island of New Zealand, and it takes about the same time. It takes about 3.5 hours.
But on the steamship, where would you be going?
You can do cruises, and you basically start at Queenstown, and you go across to this farm, and you have a barbecue, and so it takes about an hour and a half to go across the lake, and then you spend about an hour and a half doing the barbecue and drinks, and then you spend an hour and a half tripping on back again.
Is this like a riverboat steam, or is it,
it is like
the African
cool? Yeah, a little bit.
Cool.
So
take me.
That's what I'll be doing. So
yeah, that's what Penny Lane is.
Beautiful
Penny Lane, where you delivered that art for me.
Yes, up in Wellington.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was so cool. Thank you for that.
Oh, not at all, Hatter. It was, as you know, at that point in time, regularly going between the US and New Zealand and Australia, and you know, in the next little while, probably we'll start to do so again. So,
you know, at the time, AP, it was going to cost me like $120 to send that tube to New Zealand. I thought it was so cool of you to offer to deliver it, That was so cool.
I just used it as hand luggage and put it up in the, you know, in business class in the above me, and then to New Zealand, and then it's, you know, very very easy and cheap once you're in New Zealand to get something within New Zealand. You know, it's quite different from being outside New Zealand. Once you're in New Zealand, it's very cheap to do.
Oh, cool. Yeah, take pictures, man.
Oh, there you go. Oh, I'll have lots of pictures the week after. Well, maybe even next week, because I'll have been there. I get there on the Saturday lunchtime. I'll grab some pictures and stuff of where I am and what I'm doing, and we'll talk about that at the same time as we talk about oxymoron, Hatter.
Yeah, oxymorons, yeah. I make perfect mistakes.
So, That's the one. So, but I think that's about all we've got. So I better say thank you to yourself and to Deb for doing the Fern poems, and for Stephen, of course, for supporting us with Kay with his piece. And we've sort of got to the end of the show, and where we started at the start of the show was with the Seekers, and so I thought we might sort of go out with the Seekers, Deb and Hatter, unless you've got anything else.
One other thing, I think Wednesday you penciled in for a music show. I think I'm going to do it on songs that have messages, supposedly either demonic or played backwards. A number of reasons for them.
Okay. Oh, that'd be interesting.
So I'll fill that.
Okay.
I'll get that on there.
Okay,
okay, Deb?
I'm sorry, what was that, Hatter?
I'm gonna use that first Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, as a music. Okay, cool.
And Deb, did you want to say something about the show on Monday?
Oh, sure. Monday is, the topic is the ocean. And I have some beautiful art, and I have a whole bunch of quotes that have to do with the ocean from everyone from Jimmy Buffett to Jimi Hendrix. To inspire that, right? And then there's an optional Hatter color word bank. The ocean.
Very good.
That's at 10 p.m.
Very good. Excellent. Well, with all of that then, Deb and Hatter, I'm going to finish with the Golden Voice of Judith Durham of The Seekers again, and I'll Never Find Another You. And I will be back with you from Queenstown, New Zealand for the episode next week on
yes.
Oxymoron, and we will go from there.
Are you going to play Georgie Girl? Are you going to play Georgie Girl?
I don't have it loaded, Hatter. I don't have it loaded.
Oh,
if
okay.
If I had Georgie Girl.
Okay.
Love
yeah,
thank you, guys.
Thanks, Deb. Talk soon. Oh,
okay.
Always a pleasure.
I've got one caller who I'm going to say hello to. Hello, 720. We're just about to finish the show. Who's this?
It's Sweet Pea. Why do I always catch you guys on the rebound?
Sweet.
I run off the field. I run to get home. And then you guys are saying goodnight.
Yep. No. But we are saying goodnight. I mean, we're sort of saying hello and goodbye, you know, a bit like that Beatles song, you know, hello, goodbye, you know.
Yeah, hello,
it's a little
goodbye.
Bit like that.
I really try, but 12 hours being dogs, I just want to say hi. Hi.
Well, you said hi. You have.
Hi, honey.
You get to listen to the beautiful voice of Judith Durham and The Seekers to finish. So, there you go.
I am my own oxymoron. There you go.
You are?
Oh, there you go.
Let me read my poem, The Sweet. I don't think she's heard it.
Okay, go for it, Heather.
No.
Wait, your oxymoron poem? No, it's for next week.
Oh, okay. Can't read it.
Otherwise, you need to do another one, Hatter, and God knows it's hard enough to do one oxymoron poem. I would have thought doing two was, you know, an elegant sufficiency. And so, unfortunately, Sweet, the reason I am playing The Seekers is because the beautiful voice of Judith Durham, who is the lead singer, was the lead singer of The Seekers, passed away here in Australia last night. So, at the age of 79. Not terribly old, really. Brilliant voice. But just a series of lung issues over a number of years, unfortunately. So here we go, Hatter. It's not Georgie Girl, but it is I'll Never Find Another You from the beautiful Abbey Road studio in Britain. We'll see you all next week when I'm in New Zealand for the show and Oxymoron. So talk soon. Bye, everybody.
Okay.
Bye.
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 Bye, Deb.
Hi.
Take a look.
Probably a good thing.
You ready? Right, let's make this the one.
And I'll be there someday if you
Down New Zealand for the Oxymoron episode. Have fun, Hatter. See you, Deb. Thanks, Sweet, for calling in. And thanks, Steve. And we will talk to everybody next week, same time. Bye, everybody.
Yep.
Thanks,
always
guys.
A pleasure.
Okay.